Hi there. Welcome to Intentional Living Center today, everybody. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and I got here to the studio today, and I was working in my office this morning doing some things, and I started to think about the topic, and so what are we talking about today? And it was, what do you worry about? I go, you got to be kidding me. What is it that sort of permeates that worry part of your life? First of all, let's just get it on the table for those of us who are Christians. If we're a follower of Jesus Christ and we believe that the Bible is accurate and relates to our life today, I don't know how else to say it. Worry is a sin. I mean, the Bible just simply says that. And we don't know, we're not trusting God, it's sin. So I have sinned many, many times. I have to tell you, when it comes to worry, and if my wife is listening, this is of the many things that can trip you up in life, this one, I struggle with this. I really do. I worry about a lot of stuff. And I know I shouldn't. Psychologically, I know I shouldn't. I know how to handle that psychologically. I know as a Christian I shouldn't. But I wrestle with it. And I hope I'm not alone. I'm assuming some of you do too. What is it you worry about? What do you worry about? And what does the Bible have to say? Let's get encouraged and get intentional today. 888-888-1717 is the telephone number. 888-888-1717. Chapman University, one of the professors there, I think it's Sherry Ledbetter, wrote an article on this. And there have been some studies done of the top five things Americans worry about or concerned about, according to this particular study from Chapman Survey of Americans. Having identity stolen on the internet. That was interesting. Having your identity stolen, because you understand the ramifications of that and how it can impact you. And of course, they make a big deal in advertising about that. Corporate surveillance and internet activity. It's interesting. Running out of money. Worried about that, right? How about government surveillance? Becoming ill or getting sick. What is it? And I know many of you say, I worry for my grandkids. I worry about the spiritual well-being of my family. What is it you worry about? I do have some encouragement. I'm going to give you some encouragement from Scripture here in a few minutes, okay? So hang on. What is it you worry about? 888-888-1717.
Well, I fear, and I kind of obsess about this at times, that something's going to happen to me and that my daughter will, that she won't have a mother or a father, and that's probably what I fear the most.
I have had a lifelong dream of writing, and it's like there is just something just rises up in me, and I can't settle down to start putting words on paper.
I've been having trouble driving on the highway. My family is getting ready to go on a vacation to Prim, Nevada for racing, and it's upsetting my husband.
And it seems like every time I turn around, something's going wrong with my body. Fear for my health. I'm afraid that I might get so sick that I can't take care of myself.
Wow. You know, and you hear people say, you know, 98% of what we worry about won't happen. Well, sometimes it does happen, but we also, as Christians, know we don't have a lot of control over a lot of things, and obviously we need to try to keep control of things we can control, and as that one little quip says, and you know, you know the difference, and you give God control. I'm thinking of, you know, there's a book in the Bible in the Old Testament called Lamentations, and it's Jeremiah's Lamentations. It's sort of like him in a funeral procession, and he's sharing these laments as he sees the Babylonians who have overtaken Jerusalem and destroying his city. And this is what? This is like 550 BC. And the whole thing is just, you know, you could read it and say, this is a downer. I mean, in chapter 3, he says, I am a man who has been afflicted by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. I mean, woe is me. And you read Lamentations, and you could get the feeling that, man, here's a guy who had opportunity to worry and be upset, see what's going on. But let me encourage you. Listen to what he says in the middle of this Lamentation, Lamentation 3. In verse 22, for the next three or four verses, He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That is encouraging. Lamentations chapter 3. By the way, that started in verse 22. All right, the lines are backing up here. What do you worry about? Let's go. Starting with Michelle in New Mexico. What do you worry about, Michelle?
Having a part-time job, which is rather recent, and not having it, you know, cover what it is that I do need. But in the meantime, you know, kind of waiting patiently, you know, what God has for me. He had told me to quit my job that I had previously a year ago, and I had that one for like 16 years, and I was out of work for 7 months.
So are you worrying about money?
In some ways, yes, I am, because, an inheritance, you know, that my father left is not going to last me forever. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't really had a whole lot of prospects on a job. But in the meantime, when I try to look for a job, something always comes up, like a home repair mm-hmm. that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, my washer broke, my refrigerator broke, and now my dryer's broke. Yeah, and my well pump broke, and I had to replace all of those things.
So the part what I hear you, what I hear, Michelle, is not only worried about finance, just life. It's just kind of very stressful, and it kind of permeates what's next, kind of a thing. Well, you know, if I'm hearing you right, what's going to happen next?
Yeah,
and I can see that. Okay, we're going to be praying. By the way, at the end of this show here today, I'm going to pray for all of you, all right? And we're trying to make sense of some of this during this hour and see that ultimately, there's things we control, things we don't. We don't control much. We really need to rest in the Lord. And I think for Christians, this is where we really have a dividing point with others in the world is where's our trust? You know, and that's a tough one. I know even as Christians, it's tough. Okay, Michelle, let me go to Julie in Arizona. Julie, what do you worry about?
I have a day program for developmentally disabled adults, and I am worried about key employees leaving the business.
Hmm.
And I know logically I'm to trust in the Lord, but with CD, you know, they tend to obsess on those thoughts.
So you worry about if they left, what would happen, and what would happen?
You know, my program could suffer because of it.
Yeah. How much does this affect you, this feeling?
Quite a bit. I would say daily, and then I tend to walk on eggshells for a fear of offending the employees or upsetting them because I'm so worried about them leaving.
Mm. So there's almost a sense of bondage, isn't there?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Do you find your days to be hard then, just to enjoy the good things that are going on in your business and so on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when I think of a practical response to what you're sharing, Julie, I think of the passage in Philippians chapter 4 that I've used over the years, and it's really my life verse 4:8. But it leads up before that where Paul talks about being anxious for nothing. Now, you got to remember where he was writing this. I'm thinking about what he's going through. He's not sitting on, you know, on an island on the beach waiting for, you know, someone to bring him some cool lemonade. And he's in prison, and yet he's able to say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Here's what I think it comes down to. What I've learned for myself, it's hard, but you got to do it. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, which is really the thinking part of this. We got to get our mind straight. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, Julie, I think what God's telling us here, or Paul's telling us through the word is, hey, tell yourself the truth. If this is, and I know it's hard, but if this is God's business, He's raised up these people to be with me. I'll take as good a care as I can of my business. But at the end of the day, this is His business and not mine. I think if you really focus on telling yourself the truth as opposed to some of the lies, it makes a difference.
And that's a good point. I can say I have not done that.
And I think that's the key. I find for myself, it's my thinking that messes me up.
Yes.
We go down these trails of, awfulizing stuff, as they say. You know, everything's awful. Not going to work. We focus on that. And the Bible's clear. Focus on the things that are true. Hey, what's the worst thing that could happen? That, my business fails, God's still on His throne, and I got to, regroup and go on. And I think when we can bring it to the point of truth and reality, we're better off. Hope that helps, Julie. Thanks for your call.
Kind of a shame to say it, 53 years old, and I'm still afraid of the dark.
My boyfriend seems to fear commitment, and not in such a way like, oh, he's afraid of commitment, but like it's a real anxiety for him.
I fear my children. My daughter's turning 5. Putting them into school and interesting someone else to teach them and train them and be a major role model in their life.
She's afraid of the situation he's in. My son, he's living in an area which isn't safe, and he was robbed at gunpoint of 2 weeks ago. And now when she doesn't hear from him on a regular basis or can't get in touch with him, then she's afraid that he's, got something else going on.
Yeah. Boy, hear it? We tapped into some pool here. You're not alone if you're worried. I mean, our lines are jammed. And listen, we'd love to have you come in through online as well. You can tweet me if wherever you are. Just tell me, what do you worry about? Just quickly send me a note. Here's what I worry about. You can tweet me at my Twitter handle, which is at Dr. Randy Carlson. That's Dr. Randy Carlson, at Dr. Randy Carlson. Or you can go to theintentionallife.com, click on Get on Facebook, and join the discussion. Here's what people are saying. What do you worry about? Joe says, my husband and my children, my grandchildren, and lost souls and Christians that have fallen away from the truth. Teresa says, I'll worry for a second, then I remember who holds my life in His hands, and I do my best and give God the rest. Worrying is a wasted energy. Yeah, it is. But boy, it is that kind of energy that overtakes us, doesn't it? All right, Elaine's on the line in Michigan. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, I'm doing okay today. Appreciate your call.
Yeah.
How about worry for you? What do you worry about?
Well, I was just listening to you make the comment of how you worry.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think as Christians, we don't look at those things like that as being sinful. But it just goes to show that we have sin continuously.
Absolutely.
Coming up in our lives.
Sure.
And that's why we need to always pray. And stay in prayer and ask the Lord for forgiveness throughout the whole day, throughout your whole life. You have to really continue. And sometimes things are so misleading. And I just feel like these things should not be so available to us. And I feel the need to listen to the news because being the type of person I am, I've been an activist all my life, and we need to be well informed. And to know that these things come up, and hear this man who is, he's never done anything to ask God for forgiveness for.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if we could live that way? But that's not reality for anyone, no matter what party they're in or what political persuasion they may be. The scripture's pretty clear, isn't it, Elaine, that all have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And I think you talk about news, though. I find myself when I turn on, I watch the news. That can start to generate worry. I mean, there's just the activity, and pretty soon you think everything in the world is just happening right in your own block or in your own family. And so there has to be a balance with that for sure. What do you worry about? What is it you worry about? We're going to be praying for everybody who's calling in or tweeting or going online and sharing with us at 888-888-1717. I appreciate it. Thank you, Elaine. Let me go to Jay in Arizona. What do you worry about, Jay?
Well, lots of different things. And then when I hear about political stuff, I try to shut that off as quickly as I can.
It's probably wise.
Yeah. Two things. First and foremost, I do have a huge praise. I just kind of want to shout out to the Lord about that. I used to worry about my son a lot. He is very late teens, very early 20s, and he went through kind of a period where he kind of stepped away from the family. And, you know, I used to worry about him a lot. And so I came to a point where I couldn't really bug him anymore. I couldn't, you know, try to reach out. I just kind of said, okay, God, this is really in your hands. And it you know, the contact has been somewhat spotty, but nonetheless, God is good. Mm. And he's brought him back to me under kind of a need for him that, you know, he needed his father. And, you know, I certainly reached out back to him, and we were able to, you know, do some work together on his broken vehicle, and kind of our relationship is back. So
that's good.
That worry about that is has passed. So I know that worry does have a shelf life.
Yeah, it does. You know, and also, yeah, you're practicing praise, which we know is a part of the process of overcoming a worry when we take our mind and, I mean, from a pure psychological standpoint, when you have things in your head that you're thinking about and you pull those out, you got to replace it with something else. And that's why memorization of scripture is such a practical thing. People who sing and they love to worship God in song and praise, when you're driving along and you turn those thoughts into praise, that makes a difference. Now, some people listening say, you guys are in a great big state of denial. You know, you're just trying to ignore that the world's going on around you. I don't think that's what happens. I think what we recognize is that, yes, we have responsibility to take care of things. We should take care of our family and our health and our finances, and we should be good stewards. The Bible is full of things that we should be doing and need to do to be good, you know, people that are following Christ obediently and intentionally. But there's the world that comes in on us that we have no control over, or the things that we need to be praying about or giving praise to God for in our lives. And like you say, replacing, Jay, worry with praise is a really important thing. Okay, got to move on. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate your call. Lots of comments. We'll get to some of your comments. You can, as I said, you can tweet me. If you have a tweet, my handle is at Dr. Randy Carlson, or go to theintentionallife.com and hit Facebook there. This is one thing you can do whenever worry has you by the throat. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. People with an anxiety disorder are 3 times more likely to see a doctor and 6 times more likely to be hospitalized in the U.S. So here's one thing we can do to deal with worry and anxiety. Humbly beg God for help. You know, the scripture says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, supplication is going to your Heavenly Father and actually begging, saying, Father, please help me with this anxiety I'm struggling with. You know, one of the things that we can do every day to deal with anxiety is to go to our Father and ask for His help. And when you do that one thing today, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Well, I see what worry does to people. It destroys their spirit. It permeates their life and keeps them from seeing what is good and what God has provided for us. It is insidious, and it is going to infect you, and it's going to infect those around you. So let's change our perspective, and let's look at the things that God has for us now in this life, and look forward to the glorious time that we're going to be with Him in heaven.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to welcome back here to Intentional Living Center. Talking about what do you worry about? What does the Bible have to say? David was another one that had a lot of reason to worry. He said in Psalm 39:7, he says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. My hope is in you." In other places, we see that he is the hope. So it's not only that hope is not only a verb, in other words, something that we should strive to toward, but he is the hope. He is the one that that we need to allow to overtake our lives completely and take control of our lives. What do you worry about? What do you worry about? Some more calls here. Let's go to John in Texas. Hi there, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you today? Good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What do you worry about, John?
Well, you know, I was telling the guy earlier, I've been a Christian since I was 11. I'm 54. My kids are Christians. My wife's Christian. We've got all that taken care of, but I find myself worrying about my children constantly. My daughter's 17. My son's 24. My son is kind of out on his own trying to make his way in the world, and I've been praying for, a good job, a way to make a living, and a Christian spouse for him for a few years now. And I just can't seem to get it all. You know, I lift it up to the Lord every night, and then I start worrying about it, you know, which I there, yeah. There's a problem there. I know better than that. I know the scriptures on this type of thing. And
yeah.
It's just hard to shake. You know, that's kind of Satan's hold on me, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm. And John, listen, it's because you're a good dad. That's where it begins. Good dads do that kind of thing. And I think as dads and men in particular, we like to control things. I can remember when our kids lived at home, when they were in that age, 17, 18, so on, I'd worry about them. And, you know, they'd be out late and when they could be home or they'd drive. Amazing thing is when they left and went to college or when they got married, I'd worry about them quite so much. I think there's that sense of responsibility. We've cared for them and provided for them. And it's a growing process, John, I think, for you and for all of us as parents to be able to truly, truly give our kids over to the Lord and know that we don't own them. And I don't need to preach to you. You know all the verses. It's a daily. I'll tell you what it is. Life is a daily exercise of being intentional. That's why I say one thing. I wear this wristband. Every day, one thing. And if worry is your deal, I mean, you're struggling with it, maybe every day you say, hey, my one thing today as I really wrestle with this is I'm going to give my kids to God again today. Right now, I'm going to give my children to God. I'll pray for them. I'll be available to support them, but recognize I don't own them. They're God's. I'm a steward. He's given me opportunity for a brief time to be into their lives. And I think it's a daily exercise, John, and if you continue to do that, I can almost promise it'll get better over the years ahead.
Well, thank
from my
you so
experience.
Much for your ministry.
Yeah, you're very welcome from my experience, because I'm a worry guy, and I wrestle with this, and someone asked, well, how do you deal with it? I just keep coming back to what I know, which is the truth. You know, God's ultimately in charge. I don't have charge of a lot of things. Be responsible for what I can, and for what I can't, you know, you just have to continue. Even with the things you do have control, you give God control of that as well. And I think on Twitter, Charlotte she tweeted and she says what she worries about is the extent of the consequences from decisions. You know, you make a decision. Now, what are the consequences? Consequences of decisions other people make or decisions that I make. And again, I think it comes back to being able to look at that and say, hey, you know, if I got a leaky pipe, there's going to be a consequence. If I don't deal with it, I'll fix it. But there are some things we can't fix and there's some things we can't make better. And those things we really, truly, boy, those are the ones we really have to wrestle to make sure that we give them to the Lord every day. It's a daily thing. And don't expect to do it once and it's over. Now, for some of you, you know, let's face it, some people just seem to be wired in such a way, spiritually or otherwise, they don't worry as much. Well, we took a poll around here with our spiritual giants on our staff here on a scale of 1 to 10, and we all were coming in, you know, mid-range here. And so I think we all wrestle with this. This is not something that's just for you or for a few people. People on Facebook are saying, Kathy says, I worry about my 14-year-old grandson. Margie says, my family. Jason says, keeping my job. And these are the things of life. And ultimately, as I shared from Psalm 39, to be able to continue to be reminded when we say, now, Lord, what do I wait for? Because I know my hope is in you. Ultimately, when we recognize our hope is in Him. That's a spiritual decision every day to trust Him. Tough, but when you do, God is there to intervene.
Is there a person in your life that's difficult to love right now? In Dr. Randy's teaching, Love the Emotionally Sensitive, you'll learn how to care for emotionally struggling people while remaining healthy yourself.
How do we love an emotionally sensitive person? We are to be long-suffering, we're to be kind, also we've got to be intentional. If we're not intentional in dealing with a person, you're going to get sucked right into the emotionality of the relationship.
Start your year right and support intentional living with a monthly gift. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special New Year opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Here's a key verse for us as we think about this month. It's a verse right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we know it's the love chapter, right? It talks about love is what? Patient and kind and so on. In fact, that is the verse for this month. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, the first part of that verse, love suffers long. And I like that version because when we're talking about dealing with an emotionally weak person, you might feel like you're suffering long, right? It's just suffering long. And the scripture says, love suffers long and is kind. You know, that's an excerpt from this featured lesson for this first month of 2026. You know, if you find yourself loving someone who, I boldly say, could be emotionally weak. I mean, that's a bold statement. And you know what I mean. You feel like you're walking on eggshells. That lesson for this month is intended to encourage you and give you some really practical one things that you can do to love that person intentionally. By the way, it's up on our website in our members section for those of you who are supporting the ministry. And I want to say thank you to those of you who are. Thank you for standing with us. We're in this brand new year now more than ever in this world in which we're living through our podcast, through our media that we do, video, our books, and of course on radio around the country. We're making a difference by communicating the fact that it begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's only the first step. Then to move forward to really figure out what pleases Christ and then do that every day. And boy, that's a powerful thing. Thank you for your support. If you're not a member today, come join us. Call during business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. Tomorrow, the power of one thing right here on Intentional Living. Hope to see you then from Intentional Life Media.